Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Wednesday. First with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Tuesday, and one thing sort of leads to another today. We're talking cycle safety, some disturbing stats out this year, but then somebody who's donated a bunch of bikes to everyone at a school. School funding, though, and which also leads us into retirement gifts. So, yeah, that's all connected. I'm not quite sure what our relationship with Australia has to do with all this, though.
It's pretty clear that there are proportionally far more Kiwi beneficiaries in Australia than there are Australian beneficiaries in New Zealand. But when it comes to students, it's a different story. They make up roughly the same percentage of our respective student populations. There are at least 1 million tertiary students in Australia. Only 12,000 of them are Kiwi. Our student population is over 400,000. Almost 5,000 of them are Australians. But we are more generous in allowing access to student loans and allowances than the Australians are for us. So why does that matter? Well, the ANZAC special relationship, I reckon, has been becoming increasingly less special for more than a decade, hasn't it? Australia has been eroding the rights of Kiwis in Australia since about 2001. They've changed the citizenship rules, access to benefits. They deport even long-standing residents if they've served jail time, and they often even keep them in offshore detention centres for a bit first. Meanwhile, we've continued to be generous and tolerant with Australians living in New Zealand. Even this year, when we ban foreign buyers, we're going to treat Australians as locals. So who knows if Jacinda's hinted threats really changed the game here, but it seems as though they did. So I'm going to chalk this up as a win for us, because while you don't want these things to get out of hand and you have to pick your battles, sometimes tiptoeing around all diplomatically doesn't achieve much. Sometimes a bit of tit for tat is exactly what's required to command a bit of respect.
Do you think they've considered taking a leaf out of the USA's book and just building up a massive wall between us and Australia? Would that help? Probably not, and I don't think we'd ever get them to pay for it either. Meanwhile, the cycle safety stats are a little bit disturbing, and Marcus was disturbed by them.
And the number of cyclists killed in New Zealand was 18, which I think's up threefold or something like that. It's a much greater increase in the number of deaths of cyclists. And people had no idea what it was about. I have been a cyclist solely for most of my life. The only form of transportation for me was always cycling. And had a fairly good run. And came away from those years cycling largely unscathed. The only injuries I have suffered have been on the velodrome. But and my philosophy to cycling was always to be as vulnerable as possible. I'd cycle day and night, and I wouldn't have lights, and I wouldn't have a helmet. I was of the point of view that you really had to look out for everyone. However, what's happened for me since I have become a driver and seen other cars on the roads, that I have decided, and it was quite a gradual thing, but I think probably with people in cars and cell phones, that I don't want to take that risk anymore. Because the old days in daylight, you'd be cycling around, you'd actually watch out that cars didn't turn in front of you, that cars didn't pull out of driveways. So everything in front of you, you'd be aware of and you would look out for. But these days, cars will hit you from behind because they'll be texting.
There was a period in my life where I used to cycle a bit because I had heel spurs, which meant that I had very sore feet after I went running. So I did cycling instead, which is annoying. It takes a lot longer to burn off the same amount of calories cycling than it does running. I don't like spending a long time exercising. But anyway, I'm getting off the point. Point is, the shine went off it when I was told I wasn't allowed to do it while listening to my music or my podcasts. There was a managerial edict handed down, and I couldn't put my earbuds anymore while I cycled for safety reasons, apparently. And so that was far too boring, so I gave that away. Anyway, speaking of bikes, all the kids at a Carfia school have got a new bike for Christmas. because some guy just gave them all one. That's nice, isn't it?
Leanne, tell us about your school, your decile one.
Yes, well, decile 1A, so we're the lowest decile that you could possibly be. It's not to say the parents aren't working, it's just the income still means that we're on the lowest threshold and our parents do struggle.
Yeah, and Leanne, you know, a bike or a smartphone, they're expensive things to buy, aren't they?
Oh, they sure are. And so that means families don't have to struggle to find ways to access the bikes or the phones for their children.
So, Sid, tell us about this. Why was it so important to you? Is it so important to you to look after these kids at the local school?
Oh, because it's in my backyard. I saw this. There's not much business in Kafia. It's not much support by people around there. So I thought, you know, I've been donating everywhere. I thought, why don't I just concentrate in Kafia? You know, will be my largest donation over there. So my 60% of donation goes to Kafia School.
So Sid Patel there. Yeah, I don't know. It's it. Given what we've just been talking about with an unprecedented amount of cycling deaths on our roads, does he like the kids or not like the kids? I'm not quite sure there. But it sounds like some schools just don't have enough money. But it's some waste it. Here's Leighton on this.
Whether or not the sort of money that we're talking about, one principal got a ride on mower. They spent $7,000 on another principal's farewell party and then gave him $3,000 worth of gifts. That might have been the ride on mower. And the other one, of course, was $10,000 worth of travel vouchers. If this is acceptable, you're going to start seeing it happening everywhere. This might be just a handful of schools, but if it starts to happen everywhere, what then of the shortage of money that we're told constantly exists for education in schools? How do we treat that? I think it's a very good question, and you can say it's justified all you want, but when you set standards of that kind, then you're starting to undermine and possibly undermine the whole public education system. Well, he's worth it, so give him 10 grand, and he's worth it over there. No, she's worth it over there. We'll have balance here. So give her 15, because she's a woman, so she deserves more. Where does it stop?
It's a bit confusing to me, this. It doesn't seem to happen anymore, but it used to be around here when somebody left, everybody put in $5. And so you knew how good a job you'd been, how popular you were by how good your leaving present was, because people just put in for it. It didn't come out of any funding or anything. Should we not do it that way? Wouldn't that solve a lot of problems? Anyway, speaking of leaving gifts,
I have to say, you're both in the wrong job. I've had amazing gifts over my years of working. Quite significant farewell gifts, but certainly in the time being employees with Christmas and birthdays and stuff, it's been amazing.
You get birthday presents from work?
Yes, absolutely.
What do you do?
I'm a rather special PA to under fives. And I've had Cartier necklace, a Cartier watch.
What? To who? You're a PA to under?
Under 5 year olds, so preschoolers. Personal assistant to like a nanny. See, there you go. You're in the wrong job.
Oh, so a nanny for a wealthy family?
Yeah.
Wow. Cartier watches.
I've got one of those, yes. And a beautiful necklace with, I think there's about 65 tiny diamonds in it. Such stunning. And I love it. Wear it every day. Love it, love it, love it.
Wow. I take it wasn't a Kiwi family.
Yes, this one was.
Oh, wow.
Yep. And I'm currently working for the most amazing family now, and they've been incredibly generous this Christmas already. So, yeah, you just have to be yourself and just, I mean, it comes when you least expect it. It's so left field. You don't expect for 1 minute for those things to come your way in your life, and all of a sudden you're thinking, oh, wow, that's really for real. Pinch me.
Wow. Actually, if I had a nanny, though, that I loved and trusted and my kids loved and trusted.
And billions of dollars.
We're priceless.
Yeah, well, that's quite true.
We are priceless.
Is Mr. Duke going to let you ride in his helicopter in and out of Herne Bay?
I don't think he's got any preschoolers.
How wonderful.
Might be the grandfather by now, I don't know. So, yes, it's just great. I'm just very, very privileged and honoured to be doing what I'm doing. Love it.
Has anybody ever got a cool TV, when they've... Like, if you ask me, what would be the thing that I would want most if my time was to end, heaven forbid, in this job? I'm still not exactly sure. Do I actually get paid for doing this podcast? I've never really got to the bottom of that. Anyway, but say suddenly they didn't want me to do it anymore, but they were going to give me a leaving gift. Can I have a TV, please? No, I probably can't, can I? I'm Glenn ZB. Anyway, dreams are free. That has been News Talk ZB for Wednesday. We'll see you back here again for the last one of the year tomorrow.